You're listening to your good news station, WCNO Palm City.
May God bless you richly in the name of Jesus Christ. This is Reverend Dave Boston, and I welcome you to our presentation of Follow His Sandals. As this is a Christian radio station, perhaps it goes without saying whose sandals we are endeavoring to follow more closely, but that would be those of our loving Lord Jesus Christ. As I have often said, the last perfect guy blew out of here almost 2,000 years ago. This show is about our working together in the Bible to help each of us more closely follow our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's get started. Well, God bless you all in the name of Jesus Christ. Nice to have you back with us. Hope you all had a nice Thanksgiving yesterday. I was thinking as I was preparing for this that we have so much to be thankful for because we have God who loves us so much. And I want to pick up, before we get into more of this, we're going to pick up from last week about the idea of Christianity. Christianity is different now than it was. In other words, God's relationship with us is different as disciples than it was with the disciples in the gospel period. And we're going to look at that a little bit. Now we're actually sons of God, and we'll look at that too. But I was thinking too, have you noticed, we're going to start in John 3 if you have a Bible with you. Now, maybe I'm dating myself, but years ago, Johnny Carson used to host The Tonight Show. And he had this bit that he would do every now and then where he'd say, it was hot out yesterday. And people would say, how hot was it? And he'd say something like, it was so hot, I saw a dog chasing a cat, and they were both walking. You know, he had this kind of humor. And God uses that same convention here in the Bible. And we're going to look at a couple of them because God is loving. We know that, right? It says God is love in 1 John 4 twice. It says God is love. He's not just loving. He's love. He's all love. It's what he is and who he is. Now, interestingly, there are times in the scriptures where he will describe just how big that love is. And of course, the famous one, particularly during football season, is in John chapter 3. And look at verse 16. It says, for God so loved the world. And here's the Johnny Carson letter. How loving was he? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's how big God's love is. Did God have to do that? He certainly didn't. After Adam and Eve, he could have just said, that's it, I'm crushing it and be done. We'll try over again. But he didn't. He loved so big, he gave Jesus Christ, right? That's how much God loved us. But there are times in the scripture where God does that, where he'll just explain just how big his love is. Let's look at another one in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. You see, I'm a very big advocate of reading the scriptures because the more you read God's word, the more you read the scriptures, you see God's heart. And if you don't read God's heart from the Bible many times, you can come away with the wrong idea. Oh, God's, oh yeah, he's nice, he's loving, but he's also mean. He's also holds grudges. He's also has bad days. And that simply isn't true. God is love. You don't have to turn there, but in 1 John 1, it says that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. None, zero, zilch, goose eggs, none, right? That's how big God is. Now, Romans 5, here's another one. We're going to pick it up in let's say 6. It says, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good, so it says, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But, verse 8, God demonstrate his love. How loving is he? Well, but God demonstrate his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He could have said, look, you're just sinners. I'm done. I'm history. I can get the game if I just hurry now. No, God demonstrates his love toward us. How? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that amazing? He didn't have to do that, did he? And Lord Jesus certainly didn't have to go through all that pain and torture. Now, let's give you one more. It's in 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. And we've hit this one a few times on this show, and I want to hit it again because it's critical that we understand this point. It's so easy to think that God's upset with you or he's mad at you or, oh, God forbid you sin, so now he's upset with you and holding a grudge. That just isn't true. You know, we ask God to forgive us. You know what it says in the Bible? He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In fact, it's on the same page in my Bible. Isn't that interesting? Well, 1 John chapter 3, and it says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us. How loving was he that we should be called children of God. Children of God. God wanted to communicate his love to us. So what does he do? He says, hey, I'm going to make them my children. He made you his child. Why? Because he loves you so much. And a father takes care of his children. A father loves his children and takes care of them and watches over them. And I understand fully that there are not always great human examples of that. But the best father of all time is still God Almighty. He's the best. He's the champion. And what it says here is the manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that what? We should be called children of God. Now, depending on what Bible version you're reading, if you're reading New International Version, for example, or other ones, King James omitted a phrase that's in the original text. And that phrase is, and that is what we are. We call it manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. That's the text. You see, that's what God wants you to know, and it's critically important that we understand how much God loves us, because otherwise you can get tricked out of it, you can be deceived. We don't want to do that. We want to start from a space of God's love for us. And yeah, I know full well we all sin, okay? That says in the Bible too. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. That's true. But that's okay, because God does forgive. And he also sent Jesus Christ as the payment for our sins. See, and that's a huge thing as well. Our sins are paid for. But it's critical to understand just exactly how big this is, that we are children of God. Now, last week we talked about this a little bit. We're going to review a couple of the same verses. We're going to go to Romans chapter 3. Look at Romans chapter 3, please. In Romans 3, there's a section here that makes perfect sense, because God understood that we're human. I mean, he made us, right? He knows. He knows we're human. He knows that we're not going to be perfect. He knows we're going to make mistakes. He gets it. But look what it says in verse 21. Well, we'll start in 20. It says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in whom? Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all, here it is, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If you had to earn, you know, God's Holy Spirit and to be God's kid, none of us would make it. It'd be a lonely place, right? None of us would make it. And verse 23 says that. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We have good days, hopefully. We do our best to try to serve our God and to be holy and faithful. But we're human. We make mistakes. We sin. And the good thing is that God prepared for that. Look at verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in whom? Christ Jesus. Yeah. Whom God set forth as a propitiation or a payment, a sin offering is a good translation, as an offering by his blood through faith to demonstrate God's righteousness, because in his forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. You see, God knew we'd all sin. We would sin. He knew that. He got it, right? He knows us. Yes, he knows us and he still loves us. I know. Amazing, right? He knows us and he still loves us. But God understood that. See, in God, verse 26, wanted to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Yeah, that's the key, faith in Jesus. Verse 27, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Exactly. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. And we're going to talk about this a little later, but does that mean we don't do any works of the law? No. On the contrary, we'll get to that. But you don't get saved by your works. That's the key here. See, verse 28 again. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. You see, God wanted to be the justifier. He wanted to one by his mercy and grace to say, look, I'm going to wipe away your sins. See, with the idea that then we would because we'd be so thankful for that, we would look to God and serve him out of a heart of love as our Father. Now look at chapter 4, please. Chapter 4, verse 1. And again, I would recommend this whole section of Romans. Romans is a fabulous epistle. And as we've talked about before, these church epistles, particularly Romans and others, they were written, authored by God, but they were written to Christians, not just disciples. When Jesus Christ was on the planet, his disciples were mostly of Jewish faith. And you'll see a lot of that happen when Jesus is talking. And I'm certainly not saying that we don't listen to that. What Jesus said is hugely important. But in addition to that, what's also important is that when things changed after the day of Pentecost, things changed. There were some rule changes. And because of that, we have a different policy, a different way of being disciples. And one of the ways is to understand that we've been justified by faith. And then Romans 4:1, look what it says. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Exactly. See, that's the key. Jesus Christ is our Savior for a reason. He saved us from the sins. Doesn't mean we don't commit them. It means he saved us from them, and that's huge. Look down at verse 19, please. Verse 19. Again, this whole section is great, but we're going to try to, in the interest of time, move on here. 4:19 says, again, talking about Abraham, says, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. Yeah, a better reading of that might be something like, he did consider his body dead. I mean, he knew it. He knows. I'm Abraham. I know. I'm 100 years old. I don't have the same, you know, virility I had when I was a young man. Okay, he knew that. He understood it. But that was okay. And also the deadness of Sarah's womb. He knew Sarah, 91 or something. He understood. She's a great girl, but she's older. She doesn't have all the things working quite as well. But the key is verse 20. He did not waver at the promise of God. That's the key, God's promise. He didn't waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. How? Giving glory to God. And that's a big key for us, by the way. If you want to start building your faith in God and Jesus, give God the glory. You know, we just celebrated Thanksgiving again. It's amazing that in America we have a holiday that's dedicated to thanking God, which is what it really should be. I cringe when I hear people talk it as Turkey Day. So here's this great day that we designed to give God thanks, and we have people who focus on the menu. That doesn't make any sense to me at all, right? God Almighty's bigger than all that, that's for sure. So Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And verse 20, look at this. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now verse 23. It was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Amen. See, that's the key. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord, and he paid for the sins. Verse 25, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised by because of our justification. And then chapter 5, look at this. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Amen. You see, we have hope in the glory of God because, you know, Jesus Christ paid the price for us. Jesus Christ paid for our sins. Because he's so wonderful, it's an amazing thing, right? Now, what's interesting about this section, too, we're going to look at this section in Ephesians also, but the disciples at the time of Jesus Christ when he was on earth, they had a different way of living, a different way of following Jesus, if you will. In that time period, what did the disciples do? Well, they followed Jesus, right? They listened to his teachings. They tried to live good lives. They tried to do good things, obviously. But pretty much their following Jesus was to just follow him and just learn and listen, right? It's changed for us to be a disciple, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ today, to be his disciple today. It's a change of perspective. First of all, we're kids. We're children. We're God's kids. That's first. But it's also a little different in terms of what our responsibilities are. Now, if you want to keep your ribbon in Romans 5, you can, but we're going to jump ahead. We're going to go to Ephesians, please, chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to start seeing a little bit of this, these differences here. Ephesians chapter 1. My ribbon's not in the right place, and it screwed me up here. Hold on. Give me one second. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1. Here we go. Now we're good. Ephesians chapter 1, and look at verse 2. It says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? I should read verse 1 to give some context. Look at Ephesians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. You see, those saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, they're part of the same body of Christ we are. We're all, now the body of Christ has changed. You know, some people have passed away, others have been born and get saved. But we're part of the same body of Christ. So when you read a church epistle, you can read it as if it's written to you, because in a very real sense, it was. Now, verse 2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Grace and peace. Not anger, not cynicism, not criticism. That's not God. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us, verse 5, to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. Look at this next phrase, according to the good pleasure of his will. So God didn't just make us his kids for the tax deduction, okay? It was bigger than that. It was God's will to make us his children. And as we see here in verse 5, it was the good pleasure of his will. He wanted you to be his child. That's what he wanted. And he worked all this out so you could be his child. How amazing is that? And like it said in First John, that is what we are. We're children of God. It's a great example of how big God's love really is for us. Now look at chapter 2. And again, Ephesians is another great chapter that really tells you just how great what you have in Christ really is. And it's important to understand that and live that way. Chapter 2, jump down to verse 8, please. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. And this is important here because this is where it comes, this is where the rubber hits the road. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Yet not of yourself, because we weren't so wonderful, God had to save us. That's not how it works, all right? Because of our wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. Now, just in case there's a question, look at verse 9. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Not that we would ever do that, right? We wouldn't boast, would we? We wouldn't do that, even though I prayed 74 times and poor Karen only prayed 73 times. So obviously, I'm obviously more spiritual, obviously, right? And I went to church 6 times. She only went 4 times. So clearly, I'm the more spiritual of the two of us, right? Well, that's not true. That's not how it works. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. And God knows human nature well enough to know that we would boast if we had the opportunity. But now look at verse 10. And verse 10 is a shift we're going to see. Verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. See, good works. See, we're created for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's the difference. See, our works don't save us. But once we've been saved, our response to God is thankfulness. Number one, that he loved us so big. Number two, that we're his children, right? What's our response? Okay, Father. Okay, God, you bless me. By making me your child, now I want to give back. How do I do something? And that's what it's talking about here in chapter 2, verse 10, where his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know, how amazing is that? We don't do good works to get saved. Because we're saved, we do good works to serve our Father, our wonderful God. Look at chapter 4 again. Chapter 4, please. And again, some of these verses we had last week, I just want to reiterate them because first, they're very important. Secondly, it's just really, it's critical we start to understand how big Christianity is. God's vision of Christianity is not like it was in the Gospels. In the Gospels, what the disciples did, they followed Jesus around. Oh, great, look at the miracles, look at this. Great teachings, I'm learning, right? But disciples now, in the Christian age, disciples now, we have a different calling. We're part of something. We're part of the body of Christ, and that's important. Look at chapter 4 again. Look at verse 1, please. Verse 1 says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. Now, again, if you read chapters 1 to 3 of Ephesians, you'll see all the great things God did for us. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, I, therefore. And that's one of those words you see, I, therefore. What's the therefore, therefore? Well, I, therefore, because of all the cool stuff God did, right? I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing what? With one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. See, that's what's different now. We're part of a body of Christ now, so being a disciple is not just, hey, me and God now. A big part of me being a disciple is, okay, how do I help my fellow Christians? How do I work with them? How do I take care of them? Look at verse 11 again. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Look at this. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Now, this does not say that the pastors, the ministers must do all the work. The ministers, they equip the saints so that we, the saints, can do the work of ministry. And I'm not just talking about holding the doors open or making the coffee. I'm talking about actually helping people. And we'll see that as we look into this more in depth. The ministers are given for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. See, we're all in this together. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. You see, God made us his kids, but just like my wife and I, we have children, and we actually don't want them to stay babies. We want them to grow up. They had to learn things. Now my boys are taller than I am, but there was a time when they were babies. They didn't know a whole lot then. That's okay. They're babies. And just like we wanted our children to grow up and learn and grow, so God wants the same for us, his kids. We don't want to just stay children. What's the opposite of that? Well, keep reading of verse 15. Instead of staying children, but speaking the truth in love. This is talking to all of us. We all speak the truth in love. May grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, look at this, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body of the edifying of itself in love. You see, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. See, all of us, we all have a part to play, not just in my relationship with God, but in your relationship with God. We're all in this together. You know, I said that often so many times. You know, we're all in this together. God doesn't want me living my own little wilderness walk out here in the on the prairie someplace. No, my job is to be part of the body of Christ. I'm a very big believer in church for the same reason. But when we go to church, you know, it's very easy to go and just sit in the audience, right, and hear the songs, do a little clapping, nice little teaching, laugh at the jokes. Everything. Yeah, that's right. But let me present a different perspective to you. When you go to church, it shouldn't be just about you receiving. When I go to church, I support a number of churches in the area here, and I go for a couple of reasons. One is I want to support the pastors because they do a whole lot for us, and they deserve our perspective, they deserve our support, they deserve our help in any way we can. So I go to these churches so I can help them, I can promote them, what they're trying to do. I think that's an amazing piece of what we get to do as Christians. The second thing is when we go to church, guess who's there with us? Other Christians. See, there's other Christians there as well. Well, what's my job? Well, we just read it. To edify the body of Christ. Well, guess who that is? That's the other believers in your church. So we go to church. We don't want to just go, hey, I'm going to church because I want to receive a good teaching from my pastor. Okay, pastor, entertain me. Make me a nice story. Okay, you singers, sing some good songs so I can be happy. No, that's not what we go to church for. No, that's certainly a benefit of going to church. I'm a huge believer in that. But it's bigger than that. See, we go not just to receive, not just to hear the great music, but to love, support, and bless our people. That's what we want to do. It's important to us to get to that point where we can look at church as, hey, we're here to help. We're not just here to receive. We're here to help and to do more and to love bigger. That's our plan. Let's go back in Romans. I want to share one thing again with you. Romans, this time we're going to chapter 6, though. Romans chapter 6. And as I've said a million times, see, we keep wanting to do more and more for this. See, it's no longer about us. See, we're part of the body of Christ. We have brothers and sisters in Christ, and our job is to help them too, not just ourselves, but to help them. Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, if we're saved by grace, then great. No, like I can just go ahead and keep sinning then, right? No, that's foolish. This is exactly what God says in verse 2. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer therein? Right, we don't want to do that anymore. We've paid that price. Now we want to move on, right? Look at Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12. Right after Romans chapter 11, for all you research guys, right? Romans chapter 12. What you see in Romans 12 is you begin to see more and more. We're part of a team here. We're part of a family. You know, I'm not just God's kid, but so are you. And so is him, and so are her, and so is your pastor. We're all part of the same body of Christ. And we'll be sharing more of this in the weeks to come. But it's very critically important that we understand that we realize just how big Christianity is, and to see God's viewpoint of it. What exactly does God want done? What exactly does God want us to do? Well, it's not just go to church and put money in the bag. So that's nice. Or I say a little prayer before meals. That's also nice. But it's bigger than that. We're part of a family. And just like an earthly family, members of an earthly family, we all work together, right, to take care of each other. Well, similarly, in the body of Christ, it's the same way. We work together to help each other. Look at Romans chapter 12, please. And here we go again. We've got another therefore coming at you. All this great stuff we read in Romans, you get down to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, I beseech you what? Therefore. What's the therefore? Therefore. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It is reasonable when you think about it, because what has God done for us? Well, he saved us, right? He saved us. Jesus Christ paid for our sins, right? He's done a lot for us. And that's why 12:1 is very interesting. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. It doesn't say, I beseech you, do it right or God's going to blow up your house. That's not how we play. See, God, by his mercies, because of the mercies God did for you, that's the motivation. And if we ever get tired of doing Christian work, of being things, just remember what God did for you. That's hugely important. And the more we remember what God did for us, we're motivated to say, you know what, I can do more. I can help. I can bless people. I can work with people. And that'd be a great goal. That'd be a great goal for us as we go to church and everything. Make it a point to try to edify at least one person in that church. Just make that one person's life better and more fulfilling for Jesus. Now imagine if everybody in the church had that perspective. Not just, I want to come, I want to eat the cookies, drink the coffee, and hear a teaching, hear some music, nice, right? No, how if we come to church differently this time? How about come to church, hey, I'm going to hear the music, that's great, I'm going to hear the teaching, that's great, but I want to bless somebody too, I want to edify somebody else too, I want to build them up, because your brothers and sisters in church, they get struggles too, they get discouraged also, they get afraid. You know, that's how the adversary works on us many times, and God needs all of us to help care of our people. And that's such a great responsibility we have. And we're going to look more at Romans 12 and, you know, coming up next week. But I did want to just read one verse, and that's in verse 12. No, it can't be 12. It must be 13. Yeah. It's talking about what Christians do. And look what it says in verse 13. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. See, it's not about just us anymore. It's not about just us. It's about our brothers and sisters in Christ, too. How do I take care of them? See, Jesus needs us to do that, to take care of each other. And sometimes, many times, that's what you need. You know, many times, you'll meet people. There are people you'll meet in your life that I will never meet. But if they need to be blessed and healed and taken care of and ministered to, then they're going to need you to do that because I'm not there to do it. And this is what I want to start getting to thinking. Look at Romans 15, please, since we're right in the neighborhood. Romans 15. I want to do more on it. We'll do more on this next week. But the idea is, look at this. This is how it is. We're all in this together, right? Romans 15, look at verse 1. It says, we then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Yeah, you've been around a little bit? Great, all right? Your job is not to go to church and criticize everybody else. Oh, look at the way that guy's dressed. Look at the way he sings. He can't carry a tune in a bucket, right? No, that's not what we do. What we do instead is we go to church to bless. We go to church to help the other people in the church, to build them up. You know, many times you'll have people who are, you know, they don't want to go talk to the pastor because they're, you know, they don't know the pastor too well. They're a little concerned. Okay, but you know what? They'd probably talk to you. You could help that person. And if they have a question that you can't answer, well, then you go to the pastor. But so many times someone will have a question, you just answer it yourself to bless them. But that's what verse 1 is saying here. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us, look at this, let each of us, is this the pastors? No, this is all of us. Let each of us please whom? Ourselves, right? After all, I need to be happy, right? No. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. That's my job. Like we saw in Ephesians 4. You know, our job is to, every part, to build the body of Christ, to edify. And so many times, just a kind word can do that. You bless somebody, you teach somebody. But look at the folks again, verse 2. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. And look at down at verse 5. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward whom? One another. And we're going to talk more about that as well. Toward one another. That, verse 6, you may, with one mind and one mouth, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how are we one mind and one mouth? We work together. See, we work exactly right. That's exactly what God wants us to do. And then look at verse 7. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. And we'll look at that word receive more in weeks to come. But what it means is to really reach out and pull somebody into your heart and take care of them. That's what we want to do. And we certainly are thankful to have each other with that. God is so gracious. So I just pray you have a great week this week. Please try to edify somebody this week, and let's walk together for God and Jesus. God bless. This is Reverend Dave Boston. Thanks for joining us today. Tune in next Friday at 4 p.m. as we continue to follow the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have any questions or comments, you can email me at homebible220@yahoo.com. Have a blessed week.